Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so this week something happened that everyone suspected but nobody wanted to say out loud. The frontier AI companies are running out of chips. Anthropic just signed a massive deal with SpaceX to lease capacity on Colossus 1. We are talking 300 megawatts, over 220,000 NVIDIA GPUs, and roughly $5 billion a year. That is not a typo. $5 billion per year. But here is where it gets really interesting. The deal is already moving. Claude's rate limits just doubled for Pro, Max, and Team users. Peak hour throttling, gone. Opus API limits, jumped. This was not a product announcement. This was a supply chain crisis solving itself in real time. And the reason Anthropic needed this deal? Usage grew 80 times faster than they expected. 80 times. That is not a scaling problem. That is validation. People want Claude. They want to use it. But Anthropic could not serve them because they did not have enough compute. Think about that for a second. You can have the best model in the world, the smartest reasoning, the most helpful responses. But if you cannot actually serve your users because you are out of GPUs, none of that matters. Anthropic was constrained not by engineering or capability, but by physical infrastructure. So they went to xAI, who owns Colossus One, and they rented capacity from a competitor. Welcome to the era where compute is the real moat, not the model, not the architecture, the GPUs themselves. What this really means is that having a great model is table stakes. The question now is, can you scale it? Can you afford to run it? Can you keep the lights on when demand spikes? Worth thinking about for anyone building on AI infrastructure right now. Completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me. Cornell researchers just published something that could reshape how we build flying robots. And it is brilliant in its simplicity. Most flying robots treat flight as a control problem. You have sensors, you have feedback loops, you have a computer constantly adjusting wing angles and flap frequency to keep the thing in the air. It is computationally expensive, it is fragile, and it crashes a lot. These researchers asked a different question. What if you did not need all that control? What if you just designed the wing correctly? They built a computational model that maps out what they call a five-dimensional morphological space: wing-to-body mass ratio, wing loading, hinge position, flap frequency. And within that space, they found stable configurations where insects can maintain flight with almost no active control, no complex neural circuitry required. Just physics. The wing shape itself creates stability. You design it right, and flight emerges for free. That is a completely different approach to robotics. Instead of building the brain, you build the right shape. And for roboticists who have been stuck on feedback control loops, that is a different game entirely. The team already identified explicit formulas for stability, which means you can tune a robot's wing before you build it, not after crashing it dozens of times. I keep thinking about what this means for drone design, for search and rescue, for agricultural monitoring. Right now, flying robots are expensive, fragile, and power-hungry because they are constantly computing. If you can offload stability to the physical design, you get longer battery life, simpler electronics, and cheaper manufacturing. The breakthrough is not in making robots smarter. It is in making them simpler. Have a think about where else that principle applies. Right, let me shift gears to something practical. N8N just published two technical guides that anyone building AI agents should read. And I mean actually read, not just skim. The first one breaks down agent architecture patterns. Not theory, not hype, just here are the patterns that work, here are the patterns that fail, and here is how to choose between them. They cover behavioral patterns first. Tool use, react, reflection, planning. Each one gets a clear explanation of when to use it and what breaks. Then topological patterns. Orchestrator executor, sequential chain, parallel fan out, hierarchical. Again, not just definitions. Actual failure modes. Explicit selection matrices for production systems. The second guide is about memory architecture for LLMs. In-context memory, external retrieval, parametric memory, episodic memory. They walk through RAG, agentic RAG, and GraphRAG implementations with analysis of what breaks in production. What I love about these guides is they are not selling anything. They are just, here is what we learned building agents. Here is where things go wrong. Here is how to avoid it. For anyone who has been cobbling together agent workflows from blog posts and documentation, these pieces are gold. They give you the vocabulary to talk about what you are building and the framework to debug it when it breaks, because it will break. Every agent system breaks. The question is whether you understand why. If you are building on AI right now, these guides belong in your bookmarks. Okay, so Johnson & Johnson just completed a clinical study for their Ottava surgical robot, 30 patients, gastric bypass procedures, 100% robotic completion rate, But the interesting bit is not the success rate, it is where they installed it. Operating rooms that were previously too small for robotic surgery. Most surgical robots are massive, they take up half the room. They need dedicated space, specialized installation, and infrastructure changes. Hospitals have to make serious commitments before they even know if the system works for them. Ottava fits in standard operating rooms, which means the barrier to adoption just dropped. And Johnson & Johnson is pursuing FDA De Novo classification, which is the pathway for novel devices. If they get approval, this opens up robotic surgery to a much wider range of hospitals. Think about what that means for access. Right now, robotic surgery is concentrated in large hospitals with the space and budget for these systems. If you can fit the robot in a standard operating room, you can deploy it in community hospitals, regional centers, and facilities that serve underserved populations. The technology is not the constraint anymore. The physical footprint was, and Ottava just solved that. Worth watching where this goes. So, stepping back from all of that, here is what I keep coming back to. Three stories today about infrastructure. Anthropic buying compute. Cornell researchers building wings that do not need control systems. Johnson & Johnson fitting surgical robots into smaller spaces. The pattern is not about making things smarter or more capable. It is about making them deployable, scalable, practical. Anthropic has a great model, but they needed $5 billion a year in compute to run it. Cornell has the maths for stable flight, but now someone has to build it. Johnson & Johnson has a working surgical robot, but it only matters if hospitals can actually install it. The breakthroughs are not happening in the lab anymore. They are happening in logistics, in supply chains, in fitting things into the real world. Something to think about if you are building anything right now. The question is not just, does it work? The question is, can you actually deploy it? Can you scale it? Can you afford to run it? Because having the best technology means nothing if you cannot get it into people's hands. That is your Luma Digest. Thanks for listening.